Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
Well, 3 years ago, in August, I started a health journey, which I've talked about it off and on these past few years. I realized when I opened up my little health app, the little heart health app on my phone one day, after having listened to this podcast that was saying, if you don't move, you're dying. And so I was like, I wonder how much I'm moving. And I opened up my little app, and at that point, I was walking 1,500 to 2,000 steps a day. And I was like, I'm dying. This is not good. Now, I mean, my life, my call, you know, I sit a lot. At least I did. So I said, I got to do something about this. So that started my journey of walking. And you all know I talk about it. My goal is 10,000 steps a day. I watch throughout the day. I look every night. If I'm not there, I'm walking around my house and pacing, looking like a crazy woman in my jammies, trying to get the rest, you know, get the rest of the steps in. So that was the beginning. And then this Southern girl who loves sweet tea and loved it my whole life, the Lord said, give up the sugar. So I went cold turkey a little over 2 weeks, cut it out. But then heaven opened and liquid stevia came into my life. So I still enjoy my iced tea, my berry hibiscus tea, my tropical black tea, sweetened with my stevia. And there's no guilt. And no extra calories. And then I went on this crazy radical food program where I cut out, you know, I was eating 700 calories a day. I cut out carbs and sweets and oils, and it was brutal, let me just tell you. But I lost weight. My metabolic age went from 63 to 29. I'm like, woo, I am young again. And it was great, but it was costly. It was costly, still is costly, to continue making these decisions for this temple. How many of you know, or let me say that, how many of you would be willing to pay for this beautiful, probably high-end Costa Rican blend of coffee? How much are you willing to pay? How much are you willing to pay for that? How about... that little puppy's mine. He's worth a lot. What are we willing to pay for our little dogs? How about Nike shoes? Pastor Preston, I don't know if he's in here this service. He pays a lot of money for those shoes of his. How about owning your own home? What price are you willing to pay? How about health in your body? If you've battled any kind of sickness or disease, let me tell you, you're willing to pay a price to get back to health, because sickness is no fun, right? How about a Tiffany bracelet? Is that on any of you gals' Christmas list? I don't know. Or a Tesla. How about you men? Is that on your Christmas list? What are you willing to pay for a new Tesla? Or how about an amazing unified marriage? What are you willing to pay for that? Listen, to attain any of these things, we must make a decision to pay a price. There's a price tag, there's a cost, and we must be willing to pay it. The title of my message this morning is The Costly Life. Let's pray. Jesus, we honor you. We honor your life, King Jesus, Lamb of God, God eternal, we honor you. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for the call on our lives to do only what you've done, to give all. We ask you to speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a cost to following Jesus. Luke 14, 25 through 33 says this. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me, and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now that word hate there, because that comes across really strong. Whoa, whoa, what, Jesus? You want me to hate the people I love the most? What that means is love less, if you do a little study. So he's saying, I want you to put everything else in its proper place. I want you to love less than me, your father, mother, spouse, brother, sister, yourself. I want them to be in their proper place because he demands that loyalty to and love for him be greater than any other attachment. Let's read on, verse 27. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. 31. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he'll send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that there'd be a cost to following him. There was a great cost that Father God paid to give up his son in this plan that he had to redeem mankind. And there was a cost that Jesus the Son, he had to agree with this plan. And he had to say, yes, I'm willing. I'm willing to give all. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to sacrifice. And I'll do it selflessly and willingly. Why? Why in the world would anybody do this? Because you and I were worth it. He was able to give the greatest sacrifice that could be given, his perfect life, because he saw you and he saw me in our outrageous mess, and he said, they're worth it. I'll do it. It's a radical love. There was a cost to save us, and he was willing. So we're saved by grace. Can we all agree? There was a price for our lives, for our sin. And Jesus said, I'll step in and I'll cover it. And there's nothing we can do to earn it, add to it. It's a finished work. Can we agree? Yes. We're saved by grace. Jesus paid it all, did it all, finished work. It was all him. And we just have to say, yes, I surrender to that. I want that. Yes to that, right? We're saved by grace. We can't earn it. It's free. Free gift. It's free. However, from that point on, it's expensive. It's expensive. It costs us. It requires everything. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a German pastor and theologian, and he was known for his opposition against the Nazi Party in World War II. And this conviction to take a stand against Hitler and the Nazi regime cost him everything, including his own life at the young age of 39 and the lives of his family members. His deepest conviction was that as Christians, our rightful response to the incomprehensible, costly sacrifice of Jesus is to surrender our lives fully to the Great Commission. So he wrote many books. One that's a modern classic is called The Cost of Discipleship. And here's a quote. Stay with me as I read this. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the fields. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It's the pearl of great price to buy, which the merchant will sell all of his goods. It's the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out his eye, which causes him to stumble. It's the call of Jesus at which the disciples leave their nets and follow him. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought over and over again. It's the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it's grace because it calls us to follow Jesus. It's costly because it costs a man his life, and it's grace because it gives a man the only true life. It's costly because it condemns sin, and it's grace because it justifies the sinner. And above all, it's costly because it cost God the life of his son. Ye were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. What a revelation he received. The disciples knew there was a cost to following Jesus, right? They left their spouses, their families, their homes, their livelihoods, their professions, maybe their dreams. Why? Because a man came and he said, come, follow me. And they just walked away. You know, I've been obsessed with The Chosen. I mentioned it a few weeks ago when I spoke. I'm on season 2, episode 2 right now. And if you remember in season 1, you see this. If you haven't watched it, please start watching it. I was late to the party, and that's my only regret, is I was so late to this party, because it's amazing. So Matthew. So the disciple Matthew, you see through season 1 this journey of him. He's shocked. He's stunned at this Jesus and who he is and what he's doing. And it's not calculating in his mathematical mind. It's not calculating how all these fish got dumped into this boat with this net, and it didn't make sense. And he's trying to make sense of, who is this man? These miracles, they don't add up. It doesn't make sense on paper what's happening. And so you see this going on in his soul. And then he's in his booth receiving the taxes. And here comes Jesus and the disciples, and they walk by. And Jesus looks at him. He looks over, and Matthew looks up, and his eyes connect with the eyes of Jesus. And he puts down his pen, and he walks out of the booth. And the Roman centurion's like, what are you doing? We treat you the best of any Jew. Are you kidding me? You can't walk away with this. You're an idiot if you walk away from this. And he says, his eyes are locked on the eyes of Jesus. He's given away this wealthy, prominent life. And because he sees, he's connecting with Jesus, the Messiah. I'm willing to walk away from it all. And he goes. It's radical. It's incredible. It's apprehending of your heart. Like, it's what he's asking of you and me. Count the cost. Yeah, there are things to give up. There are things to lay down. There's things you're going to have to sacrifice. It's going to hurt. There's going to be some pain. You're going to have to pay a price. It's going to be some tears. But it's, you lock eyes with the Savior of the world, the Savior who paid for your life with his very life. And you're like, am I really giving up anything? In comparison here, my friends. Most of us are probably familiar with Michael Phelps, that name. The Olympian Michael Phelps. He understood cost. So he's arguably the greatest swimmer of all time and the most decorated Olympian ever, holding, hear this, wait for this, are you ready for this? 28 Olympic medals. It's outrageous. He crushed records throughout his swimming career. Eat, sleep, swim. It's all I can do. It's what he kept saying. Eat, sleep, swim. Eat, sleep, swim. It's all I can do. While preparing for the Olympics, he routinely trained double sessions 3 times a week and once every other day. He swam 80,000 meters a week. He lived in the pool, people. And he spent the rest of the time recovering with ice baths. That is brutal. Who would sign up for this? Stretching, working with the trainer, getting massages. I could do that. All right. Not so bad. And he slept in a 9,000. He slept in a chamber at 9,000 feet. The price, the outrageousness, he's willing to pay. He consumed between 8 to 10,000 calories a day. The greatest moment in Phelps' Olympic career was during the 08 Beijing Games when he won 8 gold medals and he broke the record. He worked like a dog. He had laser focus. He paid whatever price he had to pay to get an earthly gold medal. You and I, Christians, believers, Jesus followers, we are running the race for an eternal prize. An eternal prize. Not an Olympic gold medal, an eternal prize. That, my friends, at the end of this life, when we cross over from this life into the next, we will be able to take that crown and at the throne of Jesus, bow our knee, bow our heart, bow our head, and lay it before the one who gave it all. What an honor we have to be able to offer that to the Lamb of God. What an honor for us. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, a crown that's perishable, a crown that's corruptible. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You and I have been given one life. One shot is all we get. For some people, it's 20 years. Some people, 50. Some people, 80. Some people make it to 100 and maybe a little beyond. Whatever the years, we get one life. You and I get one life. How are we going to live it? What are we going to give our lives to? What are we willing to throw all in for, to give all in for? I think of these people, I mean, think of people in the armed services. They know what they're going to sign up for when they go sign on the dotted line. It's intense. The boot camp or the training or, you know, whatever it's called. And I mean, talk about like the Navy SEALs. I've studied. I read the book first of the year, Make Your Bed, by a Navy SEAL. It's crazy what they do. They take them to the edge to see if they'll crack. And they're willing to do that. Volunteer to do it. You see people in these cults or the satanic church, people are doing outrageous things, crazy things, sowing all this time and effort and resources and everything into it for something that at the end of it will not go well. And yet you and I have this unbelievable opportunity to sow and give our entire lives for this Jesus. Who loves with the most radical love. He gives us this opportunity. When I was 10 years old, I told the Lord, I said, I want to marry a pastor. I had no idea what that meant at 10 years old. Now, my best friend, her name was Johnny, and she was the pastor's daughter. So I was over their house a lot, and I loved my pastor, her dad, and their family, and maybe that was why I said it. I don't know. Maybe it was the Spirit of God knowing my call, but I said it. 10 years old, I wrote it in my little journal. 10-year-old girl, I said, Lord, when I grow up, I want to marry a pastor.
That's me.
That's you. It happened. God answered. I had no idea what it meant. But as I walked into ministry and we walked into marriage together in ministry, I found out that it's a costly life. You know, I have the honor of not just thinking about, caring about, be consumed with my own life and my own family's life and problems and issues and struggles. I have the honor of carrying hundreds of people's problems and struggles and heartbreaks and walking you to Jesus and his love and his healing. It's costly and it's my honor to do it. You know, when my children were young, we have three children, as you all know. When they were young, we've always been in ministry. Mike would be out two, maybe three nights a week sometimes, teaching ENLI one night because we pour into leaders and believe in that. And he's doing that one night, and maybe another night is a men's life group, building up men to who they are in God and spirit of might and power and faith. And I made a decision not to be a mom, not to be a woman, not to be a wife that was bitter that he wasn't home every night. Because, you know, I'd been at home with three little people all day long, pouring out, giving out, doing everything. And a break sure would have been nice. But instead, I said, I don't want to be a bitter woman. I don't want my children to be bitter at God and the church, possibly. So by the grace of God, I made a decision. And so all those nights, we had fun. I would put a blanket out. We never ate dinner at the kitchen table those nights. We would have dinner on the floor. I'd put a big blanket, like a picnic style. We would always have dessert first because that's more fun to eat dessert first. We'd play games. We'd do singing competitions. We'd laugh. And I would tell them, we're doing this. Daddy's not home tonight. You know why Daddy's not home? You know Daddy's got Jesus in his heart and the love of Jesus. And there are other people that need Jesus. And so Daddy tonight is out giving people Jesus, giving people the love of Jesus, telling people about Jesus. And guys, we get to share Daddy with a lot of other people. So my children even know that it's costly. And it's worth it. You know, I fast, and I hate fasting. But I keep doing it. There's nothing about fasting that I enjoy in my flesh, okay? I mean, I'm hungry. My stomach is growling. It feels like it's, you know, crawling around in there. You know, even the disgusting McDonald's commercials look amazing when I'm fasting. Why in the world do we do this? Why do I fast? Why do we fast? Why do we give up food for 2, 3, 5, 7 days? Why? Because to be closer to the King in his presence and to know him more intimately, it's worth every hunger pang. It's worth it. It's a cost. There's a cost. And it's baffling, like I said, and astounding to me how many people expect to pay a price or are willing to pay a price for things. Yet when it comes to the kingdom, they're not willing to pay so much. Like the cost of waking up early, earlier. The cost of disciplining ourselves to spend 20 minutes in the Word each day. The cost of coming to church. Do you realize you've got 168 hours in a week? And this is 2 hours. And yet it seems like such a high price sometimes. How about the cost of laying down those offenses and actually forgiving the person you need to forgive? It'll cost you. Maybe sharing the gospel, knowing there's a risk of being rejected. There's a cost. Cost to opening up our homes. Inviting people in, showing biblical hospitality, hosting a life group. How about the cost of refusing the lies of the enemy and the accusations against other people? There's a cost to doing that. Following Jesus, being a true disciple of Jesus, costs you everything. Your opinion, your rights, your selfishness, your time, your talents, your resources, your dignity maybe. It costs everything. 1 Corinthians 3:23 tells us, your life is no longer yours. It's his. Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It costs everything. And it's 1,000,000% worth it. It's the invitation of a lifetime to give all to the one who gave all. His life for our lives. Listen, we get the better end of the deal. It's the great exchange. He gave all. Our proper response. Yes. You know, it was a good yes when I said yes to this man when he proposed to me. But the best yes I've ever said is the one to King Jesus. Amen. Mary knew that, Mary of Bethany, when she poured out the perfume, the spikenard. A year's worth of wages. Can you imagine whatever your salary is? Can you imagine writing that check? Here, Jesus, I worked for an entire year, labored, sweated, toiled, all this thought and creativity and energy this entire year, and I've gotten all these wages for all my work, and here you go. That's what she did. She understood the cost, and she did it so lovingly, so willingly, so beautifully. I looked up the word homecoming. It's a return to one's home. Exactly what it is. Homecoming, a return to one's home. The arrival at home. Do you know where our home is if you're a believer in here today? It's not here. Our home is heaven. And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Before Jesus went back to heaven, among his final words, he said this: I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll receive you to myself. That's where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14. Because heaven has been prepared for mankind, mankind must prepare for heaven. I'll say it again. Because heaven has been prepared for mankind, mankind must prepare for heaven. We've got to have a heavenly mindset. We've got to be able to lift up our eyes from all that's going on down here, all the pulls, all the draws, everything that entices, the struggles, the pain, and it's real. But you and I have got to be able to lift up our eyes and fix them on Jesus. And this eternal home, this eternal prize, this call, this high call. It's a high call. We're living for the next life. Our homecoming to Jesus is the real finish line. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss. For the sake of Christ, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. He counted everything as rubbish. All these things that I've attained, it doesn't even matter. They're garbage. So that I can have Christ. To what he gained in Christ. Listen, the cost of being a disciple, the cost of laying down your lives for the sake of the gospel, the cost of giving up things here to attain a heavenly crown is an amazing invitation. It's a beautiful invitation. The rewards far outweigh the sacrifice. And do you know what the cost leads to? It leads to everlasting love. It leads to unimaginable peace. It leads to unexplainable joy. It leads to true fulfillment. And it leads to eternal life with our Lord forever. Yes, there's a cost to following Jesus. There's also a cost to not following Jesus. The cost to follow is worth it. Would you pray with me? Lord, we say yes again today. If you say yes today, would you just open your mouth and tell him, I say yes again? Yes. Lord, I say yes a million times, again and again and again. Lord, I say it over and over, a million times yes. You're worth every price. You're worth every sacrifice. You're worth the cost. If you've not received Jesus before, then today you can say yes. Right now, just say, yes, I give my life and I receive your life. Lord, we say yes. And Lord, we say thank you for the honor of saying yes. Thank you for the invitation that you've extended, this great exchange that has been offered, Lord. We say thank you for that. We say yes to you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.